This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Hey, what's up, Pennsylvania? This is your girl, Kathy Barnett. You're listening to The Kathy Barnett Show right here on the number one talk radio station in all of Philadelphia. But we also cover most of the Mid-Atlantic. So, hey, New Jersey. Hey, Delaware. What's up, Maryland? How y'all doing? This is your girl, Kathy Barnett. Let's jump into it. There is so much going on, but let me give you this call-in number at 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I see that our YouTube family is up and alert and ready to go. So, again, give me a call. Let's talk about this. You know, I always open this show up with this because I think it's important. We are rooted in faith in this show. We're rooted. We're fierce about truth. We're unapologetic about what's worth protecting. I believe our faith is worth protecting. I believe our family is worth protecting. And I believe our country is worth protecting. So that is literally my rubrics. When I turn this mic on and when we say, let's go, that's my rubric. What is happening at my kitchen table and what do I need to pay attention to? Because how else are we going to know how to order our steps and how to provide and take care of our family if we don't, if we haven't even prioritized what's important to us? Faith, family, our country. Because without this country, it's going to be very difficult to have the kind of family I want to have and to practice my view of the world, my faith, how I see the world. If you don't believe that, try living the best version of your life over in North Korea. You can't. So we need to protect our country. So let's get into some of these topics. Again, as I always say, trying to keep up, even on a weekly basis, what's in the news is literally like trying to drink water from a fire hydrant. I mean, the news is coming at us fast and furious. So I'm just going to pull out some of the things that really caught my attention. And I want us to kind of talk about it again. That number is 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on this conversation. But let's start off with what Donald Trump has accomplished. I mean, the man is every day. Every day there's another win, and I am here for it. I was talking to someone on the plane yesterday, beautiful woman, beautiful spirit, Miss Karen, if you are listening. Wait, no, not Karen, Brenda, I believe it was. Miss Brenda, if you are listening to me right now, I'm going to text you, but it was such a wonderful conversation, a wonderful time on that flight home yesterday. But, you know, I don't know everything that Donald Trump is doing, but what I do know, what I have tuned into on what he's doing, I approve. I'm sorry. I approve. I voted for exactly what we are experiencing right now. Of the things that I have seen and paid attention to, one of them is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has announced that they are shutting their doors after Congress pulled about $1.1 billion or stripped $1.1 billion of their funding. Like, isn't it something? These people have their very firm ideology and what they believe and how they think they need to shove it down the rest of our throats, but they're not even willing to pay for it themselves. And if we, the taxpayers, aren't paying for it, these jokers are now like, oh, well, let's shut our doors, right? After all the years of what they have done to our country, of degrading our values. But yeah, Corporation for Public Broadcasting announced yesterday that they are going to essentially shut down. They said that by the end of their fiscal year, which ends September 30th, that they will let go the overwhelming majority of their employees. They have about 100 people in office. They will keep a small remnant to kind of really, you know, to shut down the final things, but they're shutting down because Congress has stripped them of their funding and they don't really believe what they say they believe if they have to pay for it. Now, if you and I are paying for it, that's something different. But if they have to pay for it, oh, no, we're just going to shut down our doors. But it was really interesting as I was reading what they said. They were saying in a statement that they made that public media has been one of the most trusted institutions in American life, providing educational opportunities, emergency alerts, civil discourse, and all of that. And I'm just thinking to myself, what a bunch of crock. Now, in addition to providing funding for over 1,500 local stations all across the country, they also provide the bulk of the financing for PBS and NPR News. Y'all know NPR News, right? I have tried to listen to NPR News so many times, but it's just so woke. And it's so clearly biased that it's difficult to sit there and listen to what it is that they're saying. And here's why. Do you have that video clip ready? Yeah, this is NPR CEO Catherine Mayer. This is her speaking at a TED Talk. Listen to what she said, because her ideology is the one that is steering the ship at NPR News. Listen to this.
That perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
Okay, pause that. Did y'all hear that? Play that one more time. Listen closely. Listen closely to what. Now, she is the one who is forming opinions. Remember, I said to you guys, Abraham Lincoln quote, public opinion is everything. With it, nothing can fail. Without it, nothing can succeed, which begs the question, who is forming and molding our public opinion? It would be the CEO of NPR News, Catherine Mayer. Play her statement again from TED Talks.
Perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start.
Okay, pause right there. Seeking the truth and trying to have dialogue with our fellow American and convince them of what we believe to be true and why we believe it to be true, she says, is perhaps not the best place to start in our most tricky issues, right? And we got a lot of tricky issues in this country. And she starts off by saying, perhaps trying to figure out what is true and then trying to go out into the world and convince others, try to engage in dialogue so that I can put my thoughts out there. You can put your thoughts out there. And then we can see which thought holds up better. She says, maybe that's not the best place to start, seeking truth and trying to have a conversation about what we believe is true. Maybe that's not the best place to start. Play the second part of that.
In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
Okay, pause. She says, in fact, perhaps our reverence for the truth, our respect for the truth, might be a distraction that is getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. What things? What things is she trying to get done where truth doesn't matter? And whose truth are we going to? I mean, we got to follow something, right? Is it her truth? Which, again, is it may not be true just because, you know, like I'm sure all of you guys are aware of your truth, my truth. Everybody got their truth. No, truth exists. I say it all the time. Truth exists. I believe truth exists. I don't own truth. You don't own truth, but I believe truth exists. And I believe it's my responsibility, just like it's your responsibility, to go out here and figure out what is true, what is false, what is good, what is better, and then let's go chase after that. But here you have someone who is forming public opinion, because with public opinion is everything, and she's out here forming public opinion, but not based on truth. Because according to Ms. Catherine Meyer, truth sometimes get in the way. Don't bother me with the facts, ma'am. I'm having emotions right now. And so, bravo to Donald Trump. Do we have an applause button? Woo! No, yes, no, we don't have an applause button. But yeah, guys, give a round of applause for Donald Trump for stripping $1.1 billion of funding away from these clowns. Away from these clowns out here pushing. I mean, they are the national public radio. And they're sending their waves all the way out here. PBS, for example, right? All of these PBS, public broadcasting, they have Elmo, Sesame Street, and they're out here, you know, they're bringing on family configurations that is not the norm in this country, that is not the prevalent family structure, and they're trying to normalize a different type of family structure. They celebrate Pride, quote unquote, Pride Week on Sesame Street. They brought on a family that has two dads in the family. And again, when you understand that they are influencing culture and they're influencing public opinion, and quite frankly, you know, PBS, their target market, their target audience is ages 2 to 5. This is our children's most critical developmental window, and they're out here pushing and normalizing values and ways of thinking and behaving and believing that may not be what you are espousing to your little child between the ages of 2 and 5 in your home, right? And so bravo to Donald Trump for stripping their funding. And because these clowns don't really believe what they believe, they just like being in control and shoving foolishness down the rest of our throats. They're not going to come out of their own pocket to pay for any of this foolishness and dysfunction. They're going, now that they don't have our money to play around with, they're shutting their door. So bravo to Donald Trump. Also, bravo to Donald Trump. Yesterday, he fired the Biden appointee, Erica McIntarfer. That's a mouthful. She is the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. She's the one who oversaw, remember last year when they had to revise down almost immediately after the November 2024 election, they had to revise the job numbers down by over 800,000. So they inflated the jobs report by over 800,000 jobs. And right after the election last year, they had to go in and revise those numbers down. Yeah, they were trying to help Kamala. That's how I read that. They were trying to help Kamala show that the loopy ideas of the Democrat Party is actually producing jobs, that they inflated these numbers by almost a million, closer to a million than not, if you round it up. But then they had to tap that down, right? Well, Trump accused her yesterday of manipulating jobs figures for political reasons. Yesterday, her office said that the U.S. added just 73,000 jobs in July. Then she dramatically revised estimates of job growth for May and June that has already passed this year. She revised it down by 250,000 jobs. So, I mean, basically the woman can't count. I mean, that's basically what we're looking at. We're looking at someone who can't count. She was the one who was over the revision, the downward revision of almost a million jobs last year, over 800,000 jobs last year. Now she's saying what Donald Trump, the jobs that were gained under Donald Trump in the month of May and in the month of June, oh, those were inflated. We need to revise them down by 250,000. And we're saying that the government only added 73,000 jobs. This, I mean, clearly the woman can't count. And so Donald Trump did the right thing. He has every right to have who he wants on his team. So he fired her. She can't count. You need good job numbers. You need accurate job numbers. And so he directed his team to fire her. She was a Biden political appointee. So, yeah, get these people out. You know, and for those of you who will, you know, feign surprise that at the politicization and weaponization of information, you need to get your head out of the cloud or out of the sand and look around. Clearly, we have people in office who minds have been broken. They are suffering from an acute case of Trump derangement syndrome, and they don't care if they're hurting the country. The stock market went down. Had a significant drop after these numbers she posted and the revision of estimates, the downward revision of estimates. And so she's impacting the nation. She's impacting fellow Americans. She's impacting the economy. But she doesn't care because she feels morally justified because Orange Man is bad, right? That's how these people think. And so really ridiculous. And really what she was trying to do was trying to hurt what Donald Trump and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is doing with these tariffs. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But you are listening to The Kathy Barnett Show. I'm going to go to break. Here's the number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Feel free to call in. Let's chat about it. Talk to you on the other side.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
What's up, Pennsylvania? This is your girl, Kathy Barnett. Thank you so much for listening to The Kathy Barnett Show on WPHT 1210, the number one talk radio station here in Philadelphia. Here is the call-in number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I want to talk about the Russia hoax. Yes, I'm going to keep talking about the Russia hoax. The media isn't really talking about it right now because the media was complicit in spreading the original lie. So I'm going to keep talking about it because you guys need to know, because remember, it's all about how, I mean, it's not just knowing information for the purposes of just knowing information and being able to do gotcha moments with your neighbors and friends and relatives, but you need to know this in order to know how to direct your family. But before I get to Russia hoax, let me just talk real quickly. Let's just run through some of these tariffs, because again, you're not really hearing people talk about the tariffs, right? They don't want to give Donald Trump his roses. So we're going to give him his roses because again, Trump is shifting the economic structure of the world. It's not just going tit for tat and with these reciprocal tariffs. He's literally restructuring and reordering the economic structure of the world. I mean, he is gutting globalism and their cheap labor from the floor up. He's gutting them. And he's putting a focus on bringing manufacturing back to this country. And I approve, again, the things that I know that he's doing and I've been paying attention to, I'm all for it. Let me just get through this real quickly. The only one who really got a low tariff was the United Kingdom because they came in early and went ahead and negotiated. But you have places like the hardest hit countries are Syria, Laos, and Switzerland. Trump said in his executive order that the lack of reciprocity in our bilateral trade relationships, the desperate tariff race and non-tariff barriers, and U.S. trading partners' economic policy that suppress domestic wages and consumption is an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and economy of the United States. Let me tell you guys, I mean, I am grateful that, I mean, I believe that our nation is skirting the edge right now. And I'm grateful that if anyone is going to have their hands on the helm of this ship to right it and get it back on course, I'm glad that it's Donald Trump. Can you imagine cackling Kamala Harris? I'm the black woman in the blue suit at the head of the table. My pronoun is she and her. Can you imagine having that as the leader of our country? Clearly, we needed someone else, and I'm so very grateful. But yeah, Switzerland, which is in the top 15 of our trading partners, has a trading deficit of well over $13 billion. They got hit with 39% because they're so unfair, so egregious. Vietnam, 20%, but most of the European Union countries, Germany, Ireland, Italy, are at 15%. India got hit with a 25% tariff due to its purchase of Russian energy and weapons. I just wanted to put that out there. Donald Trump is not playing. These things are happening. I'm not hearing a whole lot about the tariffs that is happening because it's positive. So you're not going to hear a whole lot about it. So I want to make sure that you guys are aware that that is still moving forward, and countries are bending the knee and aligning themselves properly. But that also begs the question, these people have been taking advantage of our nation for some time now. But something else that's not being talked about a whole lot in the media, that is the Russia hoax. And what DNI Tulsi Gabbard is doing in releasing and declassifying all of this information. I said last week, what began as a political hoax in 2016, the manufacturing and weaponization of our intelligence agencies to undermine a duly elected president, to undermine Trump's legitimacy, to undermine and to just throw to the curb the will of the American people. You know how Democrats always talking about a threat to democracy. They are the threat to democracy. So what started off as a political hoax in 2016 didn't just damage one election. It broke the collective mind of a large segment of this country and everything we have been contending with since 2016, open borders, boys competing with girls, little girls mutilating their bodies, 9-year-old boys chemically castrating themselves, the world taking advantage of us, rumors of war, this Ukraine debacle, all of this started right here with the collective mind break, the conditioning. I mean, honestly, after Trump won, many Democrats have never recovered. We watched as entire institutions, media, academia, even medicine spiraled into this irrational hostility. And whatever these people wanted to do to the rest of us was somehow morally justified because Trump's a Russian asset. But it was a hoax. This hoax fractured the mental and emotional stability of the left, and with it, the basic terms of our agreement to work together as a nation. I mean, at one point, you couldn't even say Russian salad dressing without being maligned and called a Putin sympathizer. Y'all remember that, right? But it didn't stop there. I mean, that original deception became the pipeline of emotional conditioning, priming Americans to just shut up, sit down, be quiet, do as we tell you to do. Take the jab, take a million jabs, even though you're constantly getting the virus. Doesn't care. Doesn't matter. Shut up, sit down, be quiet. Give it to your 5-year-old, pregnant women out here getting an experimental jab. Just ridiculous things. But it began the conditioning of the mind of a whole segment of our population. So because no one else is talking about it, I'm going to talk about it really, really quickly. The central charge was that Vladimir Putin, President Putin, Russian President Putin, had developed a clear preference for Donald Trump and aspired, quote unquote, to help his chances of victory. And that claim was based on what a 2017 intelligence community assessment, but that assessment was based on four deeply flawed pieces of, I'm doing my air quotes, evidence, because it wasn't. The first flawed piece of quote unquote evidence was the Steele dossier. Remember that? The Steele dossier, it was paid for by the Clinton campaign. And in it, they had salacious things like Donald Trump paying for hookers to urinate on him. Gross, stupid. Of course, it was a complete hoax, but they used the Steele dossier to write that intelligence community assessment that got the ball rolling, got the special prosecutor to come in. But then CIA Director John Brennan testified under oath to Congress back in 2017 that the Steele dossier was not used in crafting the intelligence community assessment. We now know, because of what DNI Tulsi Gabbard has released, that it was the main body of that intelligence, and that two of the five handpicked analysts Brennan assigned to draft the ICA opposed including the Steele dossier, but Brennan overruled them and put it in there anyway. So he testified under oath that it wasn't even included, but it was included. The second piece of quote unquote, my air quotes, evidence was a sentence fragment. It wasn't even a whole thought. One of the key claims that Putin was counting on Trump's victory, it wasn't even a full sentence. It was a vague, unverified fragment interpreted by five different ways by five different analysts. And yet Brennan cleared it to be published. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I mean, it is literally just a fragment. Here it is. Here's the fragment. Whose victory Putin was counting on? Boom. That's it. Not even a clear thought, but it became a key claim that Putin was counting on Trump to win it. Didn't even say Trump, but there it is. The third piece of fake evidence was an unverifiable email. Another source was a vague email with no date, no identified sender, no clear recipient. The CIA could not verify who sent it. They could not verify who received it. And they didn't even know when it was sent because there was no date on it. It simply stated that as early as February of 2016, a Russian political expert had recommended engaging with Trump's team because of the possibility of improved U.S.-Russian relations. That's it. The fourth piece of evidence that got all this rolling is an offhand comment that was made back in 2014 that Trump is a businessman, Putin is a businessman, the two of them should work together to resolve problems as businessmen would. That was some offhand comment back in 2014. That's it. That's it, folks. Isn't that what Buzz Bunny used to say? That's it, folks. So stupid. But those are the four pieces of, it's not even evidence. I'm doing my air quotes, fake information, fake news, fake, that got the ball rolling. And what it really was, these are four examples, when examined, reveal how paper thin the case truly was. But that didn't stop Brennan. It didn't stop Clapper. It didn't stop Comey. It didn't stop Loretta Lynch. It didn't stop Obama. They could not swallow the fact that we, the American people, rejected them and wanted nothing to do with them. They couldn't sit with that. And now years later, we live in a world where there's an impasse growing between two very large nuclear powers. And it all started right here where we find ourselves today. It all started back then. This is treason. It was a coup. And we need to make sure that these people pay the price. I see y'all on the other side. Call me.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Hey, Pennsylvania, you are listening to The Kathy Barnett Show. You know, every week I think to myself, am I going to find a reprobate to talk about? Because right now is a time for reprobate of the week. These are people who knowingly drag the culture into decay. And I always say to myself at the beginning of the week, I mean, oh my goodness, am I going to find a reprobate? Is somebody going to do something really stupid? And lo and behold, I always have to pick among, I always have more than enough nuts to pick from. Today, I'm going to talk about two of them. One is the Cincinnati, Ohio mayor. Bear with me, y'all. I'm American. But Cincinnati, Ohio Mayor Aftab Kamar Sy Purvail, like four names. Like, okay, anyway. He was asked by a reporter. He did a press conference yesterday, and he was asked by the media if he had spoken to the victims of that brutal street beatdown that we all saw, that the whole world saw, and it was over the top. It was just, I mean, you can't have that kind of society where you can't even walk outside your door without thugs and ridiculous. I mean, this guy who started all of this was just put out of prison, just let out of prison on bail, and now he's right back into it, right? Right back into creating chaos and mayhem on the street. So anyway, the mayor of Cincinnati, Ohio, was asked if he has spoken to the victims. This is what he said.
I mean, look, again, this was a fight. It was a horrific fight. But as council member and others have said, we have significant other public safety challenges. We have children who are far too often the victims of gun violence. We have oftentimes far too often the perpetrators of gun violence being children. We have violent crime like every other major city across the nation that requires
Listen, if you guys, I'm going to just cut him off. I mean, just so stupid, so ridiculous. If asked, he was asked, have you spoken to the victims? And he said, no, I haven't. And then he goes into this whole monologue on how, you know, they have other greater, larger, bigger issues like the children. Yeah. All of a sudden, the children. Remember Nancy Pelosi? Oh, we got to think about the children, right? I mean, after chemically castrating little 9-year-olds and mutilating little 15-year-old girls' bodies by cutting off their perfectly healthy breasts. Yeah, but now we're about the children, you know, the ones that they don't abort, the children, right? All of a sudden. And if you saw this presser, he's standing there. His parents are Indian immigrants who came here. He's a first generation American, and he's standing there surrounded by a bunch of black people looking like he's in a hostage situation. He looked completely uncomfortable. Oh, my God. What am I supposed to say? What's the buzzwords here? Oh, yeah. We're not going to talk about a large pack of black people just beating up on white people. And I don't know if it was racial. You don't know if it was racial, but we all saw what we saw, right? And it doesn't look good. And he should want to know. And he should want to talk to the victims. I'm looking at photos of the woman that was just knocked out. And all she did was run up and try to stop the fight and got flattened, right? And I'm looking at photos of her. I mean, I said it before, but we seriously need to do a better job in vetting those who come to our country. They come here to our country. They get something they clearly couldn't get wherever they came from. And then they produce these ungrateful tyrants. These first generation ungrateful tyrants. right, who have not been assimilated into our values. They have their own values. You know, and I brought up my list that I wrote down. I was on my way in here one day, and I just kind of pulled over and started jotting down. Kamala Harris' mother came on a wealthy scholarship to our country, her studies as a cancer researcher. Kamala Harris' father came on a student scholarship to University of California, Berkeley, and is a professor of economics at Stanford University. And now we see what their first generation turned out to be. Kamala, cackling Kamala. But then you have Pete Buttigieg. His father came from Malta, Europe, came on a scholarship and worked as a professor. Figure out if you see any themes here. As a professor of literature at University of Notre Dame, then you have Zohran Mamdani, the communist that is probably going to win in New York. His father moved to Uganda as part of a British emperor colonial rule. He was like a middleman tradesman in commerce. But Zohran Mamdani's family was kicked out or expelled out of Uganda, accused of exploiting the poor. Then they moved down to South Africa, got kicked out of South Africa because they're exploiting poor people. And now his father is a professor at Columbia University and teaches role of race in politics. Then you have Ilhan Omar. You have Obama, whose father is from Africa. White grandmother was owner of a bank. But do you get my drift? We need to do a better job in vetting these immigrants who are coming to our country and then producing these little ungrateful tyrants. Before we go to break, let me tell y'all the other reprobate of the week. Did y'all see the story on Medicaid millionaire? Yeah. Medicaid millionaire, this woman getting Medicaid. And I'm talking about this because remember, Democrats didn't want Donald Trump to reform Medicaid, requiring people to get at least work 20 hours a week. I mean, most of us do 20 hours in a day, but Democrats don't want people to do 20 hours a week because, oh, the poor people. Well, listen, here you have Medicaid millionaire who bought a Lamborghini while claiming government benefits for years. This woman is a millionaire. She had like six different businesses. Candace Taylor, 35 years old. She's been dubbed the Medicaid millionaire by the Louisiana Attorney General. Louisiana. But she bought a Lamborghini while claiming government benefits. $9.5 million is what her six different businesses generated between January of 2020 and December of 2024. The entire time she's collecting Medicaid, right? And then Democrats, if you look at someone like this, they're like, oh, that's just an outlier. No, there's a lot of people who take advantage of free. And when you have no guardrails, they just take advantage because it's free and they can. So I hope they throw the book at this woman because we got real problems. I'm looking at the debt clock right now. Let me see. 100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, to pay over a trillion dollars just in interest payments. We're not even paying down the debt of this country. That's just for interest. We have the defense budget is almost $1 trillion. Social Security over $1 trillion. Medicaid over $1 trillion. We got to get real and we got to stop allowing these people to manipulate us and to, the poor people. I grew up poor. Y'all know I grew up poor. I grew up under a rock in Alabama in a home with no insulation, no running water, outhouse in the back, well on the side of the house. And I was able to claw my way out without ripping off the American people. We need to bring down the long arm of justice and lock these jokers up. I see y'all on the other side.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Hi. guys. You've been listening to The Kathy Barnett Show. I want to leave you guys on a high note. Carnegie Mellon University did a research study exposing more than 400 healthy people to a cold virus. And this is what they found, is that participants who were hugged on most days had about 60% lower odds of becoming infected than those who were rarely hugged. They found that additionally, those who did get sick recovered more quickly and had stronger immune responses than those who received fewer hugs. What they found is that hugs do more than feel good. They trigger biochemical reactions that boost resilience to illness. Now, the trick is, when it comes to hugging, how long is too long and how long is just right? What they found was that, discover precise requirements. 1 second hugs felt unsatisfying and provided minimum benefit. At the same time, 5 to 10 seconds proved optimal before longer contact became uncomfortable. So if you're hugging a stranger, people, 5 to 10 seconds. But an intimate relationship, so we're talking about father, mother, children, grandparents, first cousins only. For intimate relationships, 20-second embraces produce the strongest measurable effect. And the effect, like I said, is neurological, it's chemical, it's on the brain, the heart rate variability, inflammation, whether or not you get sick, how quickly you recover. All of it, they did. This is at Carnegie Mellon University, a very reputable university. There was also another study as well that did the same thing, and they found out that hugs are perfect, but you got to know the right length, and it improves immunity, reduces stress, and helps you become resistant. Okay, guys, go out there, find a loved one and first cousins and up only. Go out there and hug them for 20 seconds. Let me know what you think next week. Blessings. Y'all take care. Love on your family and focus on what's most important. And that's your family, faith, and this country. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.